And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 10. Verse number 2, and the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? So they bring this question to our Lord, and he answered unto them and said, well, what did Moses say? What did Moses command? And they said, well, he suffered to write a bill of divorcement to put her away. Moses really didn't want to. It wasn't the design of the Lord. But I think what was at hand is that men were just putting away their wives at will. And the women were left in this state of not really knowing, it couldn't be known by others what had happened. So this bill of divorcement gave them a testimony that they had been put away by their husbands, and that they were, it wouldn't be a situation from the standpoint of men that they would be married to two men. Now there's what happens amongst men, and there's what happens in the eyes of God. But that bill of divorcement made it to where they couldn't threaten them and put them away and bring them back and put them away and bring them back, and they go to be another man's wife, and then they come, but he puts them away, and then they come back over here. The Lord set those things straight, and that it's some of that of a woman going back and forth between men is abomination in the scriptures. It's a moral thing that even applies today. And so this bill of divorcement was suffered. They were doing it. It wasn't the authorization of the Lord, but because they were doing it, the Lord made this bill, and that this bill was to be tendered to the woman when she was put away. So they answered, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement. Now you need to understand that and to put her away. And Jesus answered, verse number 5, and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. And so, see, with divorce, with putting away, there's got to be hardness of heart. There's hardness of heart in one case or another or both, rather than hearing what the Lord says and hearing what the Lord commands and understanding about marriage. There's hardness of heart at hand with divorce. Divorce equals hardness of heart on somebody's part. It's just that way. For the hardness of heart, he wrote you this precept. But he tells here, the Lord tells from the beginning, it wasn't this way. But from the beginning of the creation, so there is a creation, God made them male and female. So God has created us, and we're accountable to him. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So the Lord made the institution of marriage also. He's created us. He created two genders, male and female. And a man's to leave his family, his father and his mother, and make his own family with his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh, so they're joined together in holy matrimony. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. And the reason they can become one flesh is because they're complementary in every way. A man with a man is not complementary, and it's an abomination before God. A woman and a woman are not complementary, but it's an abomination before God. But a man and a woman joined together in holy matrimony is pleasing to the Lord. It's the design of the Lord. And from that, those other same gender marriages, so-called, do not bring forth anything. Okay, there it's a hybrid, which doesn't bring forth any fruit. But a man and a woman bring forth children. So then those children can go on and have a spouse. The women have a spouse of a man have a spouse of a woman, and they can go on and have a family and children, and the earth, it continues to be populated. And they twain, verse 8, shall be one flesh, so they are no more twain, but one flesh. And then the Lord Jesus Christ adds this in verse number 9. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Don't put marriages apart. Don't set apart or put away your spouse. Don't write bills of divorcement. God never intended for it to be that way. The intention of the Lord is that one man be with one woman for eternity, or for life. And that's the design of the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus Christ sanctions marriage. He sanctions the creation. He sanctions what was done at the beginning and says that's the way it's to be. And in the house, verse 10, his disciples ask him again of the same matter. So they ask him about it again. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. So if a man puts away his wife and marries another woman, he's committed the act of adultery, okay, against the one that he was married to first. Okay? Whosoever shall put away his wife, that's the one he has right now, and marry another, that's the second one, committeth adultery against the first, against her. And if a woman put away her husband, same thing. A woman puts away her husband and is married to another man, she committeth adultery against the first. And so the Lord makes it straight and makes it plain here that this is adulterous. Now, I don't believe that the Lord is saying that they live in adultery, because the scripture bears out in the Old Testament that whatever relationship you're in, that's the relationship you're to stay in regards to this of marriage. And so when one would divorce the first and marry the second, they're to stay in that relationship with the second, not do away with that relationship with the second and come back to the first. That is an abomination before God. If that other has gone on to be with another, it's not right. The Lord says, and people before they're saved, or they just don't know in ignorance and do things in regards to this divorce. Divorce is rampant in our nation. It is another plague and scourge that's upon us. May the Lord help us. People do things in ignorance, and then they learn, and then what the Lord says is stay in the relationship that you're in. Keep it. Stay there. And so he makes it plain about this of adultery. A couple being married, if they divorce one another and go and marry another, in that marriage and in that consummation, they commit adultery against the first. But if they are married in that second relationship, they need to stay right there, because you can't make right the first relationship. They, having enjoined the second, cannot go back to the first. But if there is a divorce and they don't have to do with others, then they're to be reconciled. And that's what the scripture bears out. It goes on to say in verse number 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And so this is interesting that this is mentioned here, especially what was mentioned by our Lord in the previous chapter, in chapter 9. Remember, in verse number 36 of chapter 9, it says, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, he's teaching them about being greatest in the kingdom and the value and blessing of children. Here the apostles are driving away those that would have those that would bring young children, that the Lord would touch them. And so, well, you're bringing these kids around here to the Lord Jesus and all that. Don't worry him with that. He doesn't need to be doing that. Listen to what it says. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ tells about what little children are and represent. again, we, our relationship with the Lord, having been saved, is that we are His children. He's our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this sense, we are joint heirs with Him, and He's our brother. And so these folks bring these little young children to the Lord that He might touch them and lay His hands upon them. And the apostles, the disciples, say, no, get those children out of here. And Jesus says, no, you fellas. He was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, because understand and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. So these little children that you're driving away, this is the way the kingdom of God is. It's from these that the kingdom of my kingdom will be added to. And my household will be added to, is from these little children, these little souls. They need me. They need salvation. They need rescued. That they are what is next in the harvest. Let them, have them, bring them to me. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So it tells about what the little children represent. Children that will believe what they are told. And children that will receive. The children just naturally are trustworthy. And that's the way that we need to be. He says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. See, the way little children are, in their weakness, their inability, their lack of maturity, their need, their trust, that's the way that you need to be, fellas. These little children are an example to you about how you need to be. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. See, adults have a tendency to reckon and reason and say, kingdom. This ragtag group, so to speak, that's following around with the Lord Jesus Christ, these Galilean fishermen and tax collector and others, how can that amount to anything? That's the way men would reason. That's the way the Pharisees reason it. Search and look. Look in the scriptures. There's no prophet that cometh out of Galilee. They miss Jonah. But see, a child will receive it. And a child will believe it. And that's the way we need to be. Verse 16, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Oh, that's what we need. We need the touch, help, and blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Have you been touched by the Lord? Have you come to understand from His Word, from the Scripture, that you're a sinner and you need a Savior? You've got a sin problem that you can't do anything about. As we saw in the previous chapter, you can't do anything with your body to make it quit sinning. You need salt that's outside of you. You need salvation. Has the Word of God shown you that? Do you hear that and believe that and receive that? Oh, if you're here under the hearing of my voice, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. That's what each and every person needs. Repent and believe the gospel. Look and live. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954 by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.